Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio dial at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, whether you're listening in through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. Our first guest this afternoon is someone who really merges the world of music and books. I'm talking about Ricky Riccardi. He's here to talk to us again about his book, What a Wonderful World, The Magic of Louis Armstrong's Later Years. What is so amazing to me about this book, and also I've now read it twice, is that it gives you a snapshot not only of a man and his legacy, but also the complications that came along with his success as well. Ricky is very excited to have you back on with us to talk about the book. So welcome back to Conversations Live.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cyrus.
Well, the work that you do, it really goes outside of this book, because you not only have a very popular blog that you run as well, Dipper Mouth, but you also are very active at the Louis Armstrong House Museum. For our listeners that may have missed our previous conversation that we had when the book first came out, talk to us about your love of Louis Armstrong and his music and how that drawn you to him.
Yeah, I am all Louis Armstrong all the time, 24/7. I first got into Louis Armstrong's music. I heard it when I was 16 years old. I saw him in a movie, The Glenn Miller Story, and it really kind of shook me up. And not too long after that, I began listening to Armstrong, and I started with his works in the 1950s. And I had never been moved by music like that before, so I said, this guy is for me. And I began reading all I could read about Armstrong, watching everything, listening to everything. And early on, there was this train of thought that kept on cropping up that don't worry about later Louis Armstrong, just pay attention to the early stuff. In the 20s, he was a trailblazer, he was a genius, he was a virtuoso. Later on, he was a clown, he went commercial, he was an Uncle Tom. Don't pay any mind to that. And I never bought it. So way back when the ideas for this book, the seeds were planted, and as the years went on, I ended up going to Rutgers, and I got a master's in jazz history and research, and I needed to write a thesis, and naturally my topic was Louis Armstrong's later years. And I got 350 pages into the thesis, and I was only at the year 1961. And my mentor, Louis Porter, he almost had to physically restrain me and said, save it for the book, save it for the book. Yeah. So I graduated from Rutgers, and I hired an agent, and we tried shopping around this idea of the book. And at first, you know, we were met with some resistance. I rejected a bunch of times, and I guess people thought, who needs another book on Louis Armstrong? But right. In the meantime, I started a blog in 2007 called The Wonderful World of Louis Armstrong at dippermouth.blogspot.com. And the blog was really the work of a crazy man. I would take one song and write thousands and thousands of words, the whole background of that song, where Louis was in his career. I would share the audio. I would analyze everything that went on. And through the blog, my reputation began to grow. I ended up going down to New Orleans to the Saturn Summerfest. And then at the end of 2008, we got the book deal with Pantheon. And then at the end of 2009, I was offered a job as archivist for the Louis Armstrong House Museum, which is where I've been doing pretty much all my research since 2006. Yeah. So now I'm sitting here with the book, the blog, and the day job. I've somehow, 15 years later, I've made a living through Louis Armstrong, and dreams do come true.
You know, they do come true, Ricky, and I think what is really amazing about your story, and not just the story of how the book came about, but just the persistence that you had. You know, I think it really goes to it, and I have to tell you, after you and I had confirmed this interview, of course, there was the death of Whitney Houston and, you know,
right.
the speculation and everything about her life. So there is more to these artists, and that's what I think you bring up in this book, What a Wonderful World. There's so much more to the artist than just the music, even though it is the music that seems to really live on with them. Do you think that it is because of the music that Louis Armstrong is even still relevant today, because we wouldn't even know about his other story if it wasn't for him being in the spotlight for his gift?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. In the 1920s, Louis comes around and basically writes the vocabulary of all popular music that follows. And he does it as an instrumentalist with his trumpet, and he does it as a vocalist with his voice. I mean, there's been so many great influential musicians, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Duke Ellington, on and on and on. And there's been so many influential singers, Frank Sinatra, Billie Holiday, you mentioned Whitney Houston. But really, nobody else could do both of those like Louis. And on top of it, be a fantastic comedian, an actor. I mean, everything about his persona screamed genius. So as a musician, he really, really writes the rules. And through his music, I mean, it still sounds just as timeless today as it did. Some of those tracks are almost 90 years old. Tony Bennett, I just recently read an interview where he said still to him, the hippest music around today is Louis Armstrong. So the music will be around forever. But there's also something about the person that really made him such an international icon. His smile, his warmth, his infectious spirit, the joy of his music, the joy of his personality, how beloved he was around the country, around the world, how people in countries that couldn't understand one word of Louis Armstrong's music just absolutely fell in love with him. So as a person and as a musician, it just lives on and on.
Exactly. And I think that is why there are people like yourself that are still able to talk about him today, and you still feel like, I mean, the presence is there because we have this great music, and we also have this life that you chronicled in your book. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Ricky Riccardi. He's the author of the book, What a Wonderful World, The Magic of Louis Armstrong's Later Years. And, Ricky, for me, one thing I thought about when you were talking just then about what lives on. There was also, it seems as though, the infectious nature of his humor, of his personality, and being able to strike the right balance when he was dealing with individuals, even though he was very serious about his music. As you look at the template for him, because there were a lot of issues, and I went back and listened to our first interview, and we were able to cover a lot of it then. But I think for those, you know, who may not remember, as you mentioned, of course, the things that were said about him, how do you think that he was able to keep going? Because a lot of people, once they start hearing the rumbles about themselves, mm-hmm. or hear people say things, that would destroy them. You know, for him, it may have been seen as a setback, but it definitely didn't stop him. What was it that kept him going?
Very simple answer, the love of his audiences. I say it somewhere in the book that the critics might have had the loudest voices, and because of that, their criticism led to Armstrong's later years to kind of be taken for granted. But these were Armstrong's most popular years, and I interviewed musicians who told me that Louis would tell them, do not pay attention to the reviews, do not pay attention to the critics. They're getting in there for free. They didn't buy a ticket. You know, they have their own agendas. Just listen for the people. And night after night, Louis Armstrong played in front of sold-out crowds. Night after night, lines and lines of people met him backstage for autographs, and he would sign every one. He would stop traffic when he got out in the streets of Manhattan or in other cities. So, you know, it was that feeling, that knowing that he was so universally loved, again, even in the countries where he couldn't speak a word of their language, they couldn't speak a word of his language, but the joy his music would bring, and he would see that. So that really kept him going, and it dismayed him that younger jazz musicians, and especially the African-American audience, started tuning out as the 50s and 60s wore on. But all he had to do was look around and know that just by being himself, I mean, Louis Armstrong was the realest entertainer you could ever imagine. He never changed a thing about him, no matter how many critics said, he's got to stop clowning, or he's got to do this, or he's got to be more serious. Whatever they said, Louis Armstrong was always true to himself on stage. What you saw on stage was what you saw off stage. I spent hours and hours and hours of research listening to Louis's private tapes and hearing him interact with fans and make them talk on his tape recorder or sign autographs and everything. I mean, he was just a person that nothing, not racism, not criticism, nothing they put in front of him could stop him. He was a force of nature. He was determined to shake up the world, and he did.
Yeah, exactly. And Ricky, if you happen to have missed it, Ricky Riccardi is also the archivist of the Louis Armstrong House Museum as well. He also has the blog that he mentioned earlier at dippermouth.blogspot.com, where you can find, of course, everything Louis Armstrong. Ricky, I want to talk about what the legacy means for you. Because I was thinking, and I see your posts sometimes on Facebook about the different events that are going on, and I have to wonder. You have spent over a decade learning things about him. Actually, I mean, getting into his life, into the things that made him tick, into the things that he had to contend with. How has that helped you in your own professional life? As you have gone now, had your own success, you have a book that people love and appreciate. How have you been able to take those lessons from Louis Armstrong and apply them in your own life?
Oh, well, I mean, he's really taught me everything. He's taught me to see how to be a person. I see how Louis treated people, how the first time you would meet people, he would always be so warm and friendly, and, there wasn't an ounce of really anger. I mean, you could get him angry. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was such a warm, generous person that when you spend just a few minutes every day listening to Louis Armstrong's music, you can't not be in a great mood. So that happens to me all the time. People say to me, boy, you are always in a good mood." And I say, "Well, yeah, I just listen to some Louis Armstrong, and it doesn't get me down." But the Armstrong legacy, he's been gone now for 40 years, and he died 9 years before I was born. I mean, sometimes I think, man, I have no business getting myself all worked up because I never met him, I never saw him live, but his music, his ideals, everything about him, it's just set my life on such a beautiful that I can't help but feel like I'm a messenger. And the fact that he is so popular still, there are not very many artists born in 1901 or that period who are still, you could say, thriving, that they'll use his music in an iPhone commercial or a major movie, or we get 10 to 12,000 visitors at the Louis Armstrong House Museum every year, most of them international visitors, people who sort of first time in America, and they make the pilgrimage right to Louis Armstrong's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky enough to be invited to speak about Louis at the Satchmo Summerfest in New Orleans, Jazz Museum in Harlem. I went to Italy last year, and it's beautiful. There are still so many people out there, older people who experience him live, and younger people like myself, who all we have is the music and the YouTube clips and stuff like that. And he's just showing no signs of slowing down. And it's beautiful to be part of the scene and know that I can take Louis's music and Louis's lessons and, I use the word preach, but it works, but, preach to the younger generation.
Yeah. And I think, too, what you're doing for the younger generation, Ricky, is reminding them about the importance of history. Because if it was not for the work that you have done, if it's not for the work of the museum, of your blog, we would not have an appreciation for this. I wouldn't have known about it otherwise if it had not been for this book. So I think, it really does should rekindle the interest that we have in history and the importance of taking the time to learn history. Because as you mentioned, you yourself, I mean, came on the scene about a decade after he was gone. So for you to be able to do all that you do shows that there is a true appreciation for the real history of him. And his real legacy, and to know that, and I think in many ways you are helping people to better appreciate what was a very complex time as far as his image, as far as his reputation, and what he really was, who he really was at that time. So, I mean, you are really to be commended for that. Again, Ricky Riccardi has been our guest. What a Wonderful World, The Magic of Louis Armstrong's Later Years is the title of the book. The book's available in all digital forms, of course, as well as you can find it in print. Go to your favorite bookstore, and then, of course, Amazon.com has it as well. As far as you, Ricky, we mentioned, of course, the work that you do at the museum. Go ahead and give that the blog out again for our listeners to stay in contact with you.
Yeah, the blog, you can find it at Dipper Mouse. That was one of Lewis's early nicknames before Satchmo. No, it's dippermouse.blogspot.com. It's called The Wonderful World of Louis Armstrong. In the early days of the blog, I was a machine. I would knock those things out two or three times a week. Now, because of life and work and I had two babies at home and everything, I try to get one blog out a week, but I make sure it's very, very needy, and it takes some time to get through. But yeah, like I said, it's the work of a crazy man. But it's brought me a lot of fun and brought me a lot of riches too.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? And you've done the same for us as well. So you definitely be to be commended for that, Ricky. Again, congratulations to you. Dippermouse.blogspot.com is the site. Then, of course, as I said earlier, the book's available everywhere, including Amazon.com. Ricky, we appreciate you taking out some of your valuable time to be with us. You know, we know you have a lot going on, and we appreciate you doing this for us. So congratulations to you, and we look forward to staying in contact with you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Anytime.
All right, I appreciate that. For our listeners who may have came in a little late and may have missed part of my conversation with Ricky, don't worry, you can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's already live there. We actually posted it right before we went live, so you can go to the link, click on it, it'll take you directly to the interview. You can share it with your friends and download it completely for free. I'll be back with you guys at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time for our friends on the West Coast for the primetime edition of Conversations Live. Until then, my name is Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Take care.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow.